Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're here live on the air right now to talk about the basic gospel, how it intersects with your daily life, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number is 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls right now. Don't wait. Call 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Peter wrote this: "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires or fleshly desires, which wage war against the soul." If we're going to experience freedom as believers in Christ, then this is an admonition for each of us to heed to actually apply. We all have fleshly desires. Those fleshly desires didn't die when we came to Christ. They're still active, and we still live in a world filled with temptations that activate those fleshly desires and try to pull us away from our new life in Christ Jesus. But here Peter is saying to abstain from those. Why? Because they wage war against our souls. They're trying to bring us back into bondage. They're trying to capture us and to make us slaves to their leadings. But that's not freedom. That's not what true humanity is all about. That's not how to flourish as a human being. We can only do so when we are resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, when we're living out the salvation that He has worked into us through His Holy Spirit. That is the message of the New Testament. It's a message that we don't talk about a whole lot. We all deal with sin. We all wonder, you know, what are we supposed to do when we sin?
Yeah.
But there's another message that says, why not submit yourself to the leading of God's Spirit and experience freedom that He's called you to? Then you won't have to worry about the other side of that equation. So yeah. I love this passage: abstain from sinful desires which wage war against the soul. And we have to realize that we are in a battle. There's a battle for the mind. There's a battle for the emotions. There's a battle for the choices that we make. Satan is doing everything in his power to divert us away from faith in Jesus Christ. We have to recognize that. We have to understand that's reality. But there is a solution, and that solution is walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that solution, there is freedom. Do you want to be free in your life? Then walk by faith in Jesus Christ.
We want you to join the conversation, and you can do so right now because the lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377, toll-free wherever you hear this broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We really want you to join us by phone if you have a question or something to discuss, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from Christine, who writes to us from Buffalo, New York. She says, I was asked to evangelize at our county fair and was very excited. I went to the training and have come away double-minded. As I mentioned, it's a booth. We will not be going out at the fair. They will be coming to us, I think, and I feel it's too rigid a script that they will not allow any deviation of the script. It is biblical, however, in content. They've been doing this for 23 years. I want to learn how to lead people to Christ in the most effective way, being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm a new Christian, and I'm very excited to learn more about evangelizing. I would love your advice. If this is the most effective, Spirit-led way of going about it, I am concerned that this is really not of the Spirit, but is of the flesh.
Well, that would be hard to say if it's of the Spirit or of the flesh. I mean, anytime the Word of Christ is getting out, we should be thrilled with that. Paul wrote about that in Philippians. I know, Richard, you've looked at that passage a number of times where Paul talks about those who are getting the gospel out for their own personal benefit. And Paul says, you know, I can't worry about motivation. I just have to rest and be joyful in the fact that Christ is being proclaimed. And God will use that. God will certainly use that. And I know as far as evangelistic presentations are concerned, we are so afraid that we're going to mess it up. I mean, most people don't evangelize because of that very reason.
Yes.
They don't want to do harm to the gospel message. So a lot of organizations have come up with scripts, basically. And they're usually several passages of scripture strung together that really lay out the gospel message. And I think those plans are very useful, especially for new believers. But over time, you start learning Christ. You start knowing Christ. When we first come to know him by faith, we just know a little bit about him, that he's our Savior, but we really haven't come to learn what his true character is, what he really thinks about us, and what his love is all about. And as we start growing in grace and growing in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, our conversation about Christ becomes more natural. We can actually just share what we know. And I believe that's the most effective way in sharing Christ, where you're making a connection. It's all about relationship. Sometimes these quote, formulas or scripts don't really lend themselves to relationship.
Sure.
But once you know Christ, you can connect with people. You can find common ground. And based on that, you can start having a conversation that is relevant to that person's situation, and bring in the Word of God, bring in the gospel message, and the gospel message will do its work in bringing that person to Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you learn something, you learn kind of some passages, you know, it could be the Roman Road or it could be other evangelistic tools. You learn how to share that. Over time, it becomes more and more natural just to share Christ. Share the love of Christ, what Christ means to you, and I think that's when evangelism really takes off.
Yeah, I love what you said. It's about being in relationship with people, first with Jesus and then with whomever you meet, your friends, family, whoever. One of the things that our society, especially here in the United States these days, is characterized by is we've all been marketed to since we were born. We can spot a script 800 miles away. We know if someone's genuine and if they're just on the phone trying to sell you something. And so the relationship is critical because that's what removes the script. It's just you and me talking about Jesus and things that have happened in my life. It's natural, it's a lot more friendly, and it's a lot more effective.
Yeah, and that's what makes it relevant.
Yes.
I mean, that's what shows forth the relevance of the gospel message. Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, how are you doing? I just had a question, a two-part question, and it's from the book of Romans when the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he speaks of women. He says that women should keep their hair wrapped up and not have the hair out in the house of God because a woman was made for a man's glory, and a man could wear his hair out because he was made for God's glory. And then, because in my church today, all the women, they wear their hair out. And then the Apostle Paul even spoke about women speaking in church, that they should not speak in church. But in my church today, that's not the case. So I was wondering, was this of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul, or was this just his personal opinion? Because sometimes he would say, personally, this is how I feel. But I believe that this was the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, and God is the same yesterday as he is today. So I was just questioning that, and I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, Eugene, good question. As far as the passage in 1 Corinthians is concerned about women being quiet in churches, there was a lot of chaos, and it wasn't so much Paul was saying, women, you can't speak. What he was trying to do was to restore order within the assemblies, the groups of believers, as they were getting together to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to listen to the Word of God, the teaching of the apostles as it came to them through these letters. And certainly that wasn't happening in the group there in Corinth. That was just one messed up group. There were divisions. They had, you know, the haves and the have-nots. They had all kinds of fighting and disputing, and all kinds of issues were going on there in Corinth, not the least of which was confusion and chaos within their assemblies. The gift of tongues was being abused in such a way that it was causing chaos and confusion for believers. And the women would gather, and they would talk and banter back and forth, and no one could hear what was being said. And so Paul was writing in that particular instance to restore order. And he said, God is a God of order. He's not one of chaos and confusion. And you guys are making a mockery of this. So here's what I'm saying to you, that the women should remain silent in the churches. They should be in submission and all that he says there. But again, the point is about order. Everything, and that's the last verse in chapter 14, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. That's the whole point. So instead of trying to make a doctrine out of whether women should be able to speak or not speak, let's look at the overarching truth that he is getting to and then use that to determine what to do in each and every assembly. You can be unique in that application. So I think it's important there. Also, as far as the hair and all of that is concerned, you know, what God is interested in us doing as believers is to show forth on the outside what is real to us on the inside. You know, and so he talks a lot about women's dress. You know, Paul talks about that. Peter talks about that. How should women dress? Well, they should dress in a way that reflects who they really are on the inside, what Christ has made them to be on the inside. And sometimes we dress today in a way that does not reflect that. And so Paul and Peter both are simply saying, understand who you are, understand what Christ has done, and that your real beauty comes from your relationship with him. That's what makes you different. That's what's going to make you stand out in the world today, not the way you dress. If you dress like the rest of the world dresses, you're just like the world. So let your inner beauty make you stand out as a believer in Christ Jesus. And so let your dress reflect what's going on the inside. That's what Paul is really getting at in all of those particular passages. Order in assemblies and a true reflection of this gospel message that has gripped your heart and made you different on the inside.
Okay. Wow, you really did a good job in answering that question, because I totally get it. And I thank you for that question. I thank you for the answer. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
You are welcome, Eugene. Thanks for calling. Let me put you on hold. We're going to send you a special gift just for calling in on the broadcast, and we hope it really ministers to you. Okay, my friend?
Okay, thanks so much.
You hold on, Eugene. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. And guys, I wanted to bring our listeners up to date. Our data processing department reports that the number one question that we've gotten in regard to our Gateway to Grace, our special offer this month, is, what's it all about? So I guess that means we probably haven't communicated it completely enough what the content really is. So let's do what we can to correct that right now. In 6 CD messages and a special bound study guide, Gateway to Grace is a complete self-contained Bible conference. On the daily radio program, of course, you hear truth in small caller-guided conversations. But by contrast, Gateway to Grace is an organized presentation of the basic gospel message, including scripture references and notes. And if you've not been able to attend our Be a Voice conference, we'll take advantage of this offer. Gateway to Grace is excellent for personal or group Bible study, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Yes, yes, indeed. And it is a powerful resource. It's the content of conferences that we do here and around the country in various places. When people hear it, laid out in its completeness. You know, all six of these messages, they come away and say, and I've never heard it delivered in such a clear, concise way. I finally get what the gospel message is. I finally know what it means to be saved. I finally know who I am in Christ. I finally know who Jesus really is in my life and what it means to live in this new covenant. All of these things are the important truths that God has laid out for us. And if they're important to God, then they need to be important to us. And that's why we call this the basic gospel. It's the things that are of most importance to God and to us as individual believers. So take advantage of this offer, and your gift to basic gospel helps us reach out to others. Mm-hmm. So you're going to make a difference not only in your life as far as getting this resource, but make a difference in somebody else's who might not know that God actually loves them, might not know that their sins have been forgiven. They might not know that new life is available to them in Christ Jesus. So your gift makes a difference in two different ways. To you individually, as you get a resource that can help you in your spiritual journey with Christ, but and also reaching out to others to introduce them to the love of Christ. So be generous. Give. We need your help. Our goal for this month is $125,000. We're about $20,000 short of that. We have 3 days left. So if you could give a gift today, call Billy, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Give a gift. We want to send this to you, put it in your hands, and everybody wins. So let's all be winners together.
Yeah, and I think that explains it pretty well. Okay. Hey, guys, there seems to be some confusion concerning the issue of sin and the believer. From Upper Marlboro, Maryland, Lewis writes, according to 1 John 3:5-9, believers cannot sin because they are born of God. As Christians, do we sin? What's the meaning of that?
Well, Richard, that's a great question, and I'm glad this person asked it. You know, folks, there are some theologies out there that says that we can reach sinless perfection, that we can get to a point where we never, ever sin again in life. I have yet to meet that person. Other than Jesus Christ himself, he lived without sin. But he did so that he could become the sinless Lamb of God, the perfected Lamb of God, to be a sacrifice to take away our sins, to pay the penalty and the punishment for our sins. But you and I, we're going to sin. We're going to commit acts of sin. So what in the world is John talking about, that those who have come to know him cease to sin?
Well, you have to go, or have to understand the difference between the symptom of what's wrong, which is our behavior, and the root cause of what's wrong. The root cause of all bad behavior, of all sinful behavior, is unbelief. That was the root in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They chose to disbelieve God and to take Satan's word for things, and we're in this mess now. So when we go from unbelief to belief, when we repent, that's why repentance is such a huge word. When we repent of the unbelief and turn to belief in Jesus Christ, that root cause, core sin, is dealt with one time, and it's never going to be there again. You may doubt because bad things happen, but that's not a core unbelief. You have turned to Jesus Christ, and you now belong to him, and now you're in a position, because you're in relationship with him, to have this ongoing conversation with the Spirit about how to stop giving in to the desires of the flesh. We could never have that conversation before. So what John is talking about, when we've stopped sinning, it means we have stopped the unbelief. We have actually accepted Jesus.
Right. And the inference there, the implication, is that we will never go back to unbelief.
Never go back to unbelief.
So what does that say about our assurance of salvation? You know, we have so many people that will call in. They will write to us and say, man, you guys are teaching heresy with this once saved, always saved stuff. Well, we never really say once saved, always saved. We just say that when Jesus saves us, he saves us completely. We go from death to life. His cross guarantees the fact that we are going to be with him forever. And he has committed himself to us. He has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised to complete the work. That is his commitment to us as our Lord and our Savior. And then folks will say, but you can walk away. You can just jump out of God's hands. You can walk away because you've been given free will. Well, this particular verse in First John 3 says you're not going to sin. In other words, you're not going to turn away from belief and go back to unbelief. That's an impossibility as a child of God. You may do some of the deeds of darkness again. We all do. But that's totally different than what John is saying there.
Yes.
Once you're a believer, you're always a believer. That becomes your natural inclination of your spirit. Before, the natural inclination was to the things of this world, unbelief. But now, as a believer, your natural inclinations are to trust Jesus Christ. So I think that's just fabulous.
Oh, it's a wonderful passage.
Yeah. And one point about this, I'm going to be asking and answering a question on our blog tomorrow. What does God do when we sin? And I think if we will understand what God does when we sin, it will help us answer the question, what then should we do when we sin?
Yes.
So tune in tomorrow for that at basicgospel.net. We'll post it early in the morning. So take a read, and then we can talk about it on tomorrow's broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Well, guys, the final question on this edition of Basic Gospel, this is from Chris, who writes to us from Phoenix, Arizona. I never heard anyone ask if we are predestined, or predestinated, I guess is the way he put it. And if God knew us before we existed, why would he create us if he knew we would be tempted by sin? I don't mean any disrespect, but why would God cast Satan down to earth, then place mankind on the same planet? I'm a father, and I would never put my children in that predicament. The reason I ask is I've been listening to teaching about the Word of God and reading the Bible when I have a chance. I believe in God, and Jesus is our Savior, but I have always been puzzled by this question. God gave us free will, but is it really free will?
Well, that's always the question.
Yes.
Is it really free will? You know, Adam and Eve made a choice in the garden to believe Satan, but it was done through the influence of Satan himself. He had very persuasive tactics, and they gave in. They submitted to what Satan was saying. They made the choice, but it wasn't totally independent. They didn't just one day say, we're going to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were influenced by an outside source. And so we as human beings, I mean, we've got to realize that we were created. And the fact that we are created means that we are dependent upon our Creator for meaning and purpose to life, for significance in life, for life itself. We can't get that on our own free will. We can't rationalize or reason our way into meaning and purpose. It just doesn't happen. There has to be this point of dependence upon the Creator. So we have to realize that. And if we will understand it, then we'll understand kind of the nature of faith. God initiates, we respond. That's how it works.
Right.
We try to initiate to God to get him to respond to us. Well, it doesn't work that way. He's the initiator. He's the creator. We respond. When we respond, that's when we can experience true freedom. If we don't respond to him, we're going to respond to the things of this world.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. So do we have free will? God gives us the opportunity to make choices, but those choices are in direct relationship to what we are being influenced by.
Yeah.
And we have the greatest love ever to influence the love of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported. We must have your support to keep bringing the truth of the New Covenant into the airwaves every day. The six-message series, Gateway to Grace, is a full conference in one exciting package. Six CDs and a scripture reference note-filled study guide that addresses many of the questionable influences we encounter every day. Gateway to Grace will take you on a New Covenant journey to faith and freedom. It's a self-contained Bible conference that you can use for personal or group study, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the month of July. And only a couple of 3 days left this month, friends. To request Gateway to Grace, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.